Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we are in Joshua chapter 10. Now, the chapter opens with Adonai Zedek. Just tuck that again into your big book of Bible baby names. You can just keep bookmarking those, no charge. Where was I? Oh, yeah. The chapter opens with Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, getting a little worried as the armies of Israel approach his city fortress. Adonai Zedek sees what is done in Jericho and Ai and knows that he's on borrowed time. So he reaches out to four other kings with armies all their own and creates a super army, deciding to attack Gibeon and conquer it so that the Israelites don't have an existing ally near their borders. In World War II, America was able to launch a successful amphibian assault along the coastline of France and infiltrate Hitler's Europe and win the war, but only because we were able to stage our base of operations from England, our allies over the pond. That's the kind of thing that Adonai Zedek didn't want to have happen. And there the Gibeonites had just forged a partnership with Israel, so his plan was to eradicate what Israel would surely use as their future base of operations when they came to conquer him. And the Gibeonites didn't stand a chance against the five armies. Think of it as kind of like the orc army of Sauron attacking Hobbiton. The Gibeonites weren't a fierce people. That's why they deceived the Israelites into making an alliance covenant with them. So the Gibeonites sent word to Gandalf, Joshua, and Joshua responds. After all, these are his servants. They've made this covenant. Now he finds himself in a position a little bit like God. And he marches overnight. An 8-hour march overnight. Now, when you've marched 8 hours, you're incredibly tired. But to make matters worse, an overnight sleep-deprived march, no army would be in any shape to fight after that. But the Lord said in verse 8, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." In verse 9, we're told that this gave the Israelites the element of surprise over the armies of Adonai Zedek, and they defeated them. But here's where it all goes a bit Lord of the Rings. Eat your heart out, Peter Jackson. Without any CGI technology, God makes it hail upon the five fleeing armies so that the hail falling out of the sky at tremendous speeds crushes their souls and bodies. But God wasn't done yet. He was going for an Oscar in the special effects category. He made the sun stop in the sky for about a full day so that Joshua could settle this battle with the five armies once and for all. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, verse 12, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. If you need a reference, you might pull a copy of the book of Jashar off your shelf and double check it for yourself. Again, fact checking. It's a Joshua thing. Verse 16 through 27 chronicles the fate of the five kings who led the attack against the Gibeonites. After finding the five kings hiding in a cave, verse 22 tells us, Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me." So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. When they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, "Come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings." Came forward and they placed their feet on their necks. Joshua said to him, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all your enemies that you're going to fight." Then Joshua put the kings to death and exposed their bodies on five poles, and they were left hanging on the poles until evening. Now, that is a very gory passage, granted, but the beautiful thing about the passage is that Joshua is now saying to others what God said to him. Do not be afraid. Be brave. Be strong. His life becomes a walking, breathing testimony to trusting God and his power. Why do I highlight this part of the story? Because it illustrates something that the Bible talks about. When the New Testament talks about all things being put under Christ's feet, this is what that means. It means that evil and the devil himself will be this helpless, vulnerable position under the power of God. Remember, in the same way that these five kings seem to be impossible to defeat, a force without equal, so evil seems that way to us today. But from Christ's perspective, who shares a name with Joshua or Yeshua, the great conqueror, who is but a picture of the true great conqueror? Hebrews, quoting Psalms 8, tells us, "What is mankind that you are mindful of him, a son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, you crown him with glory and honor, and you put everything under their feet." In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But what we do see is Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. When the writer of Hebrews talks about all things being put under his feet, he literally means to step on the neck. That's what a king did when he conquered. But in the same way that Jesus submitted himself to humility, pain, and suffering for us, the passage is calling us to follow suit and submit to him. The word submit actually means to bend the neck, and it comes from this practice of laying your neck out straight before a conqueror and declaring yourself helpless, while declaring that individual as Lord, conqueror, and king. This is a picture of our salvation where we declare those same very things. Saying that Jesus is Lord is like saying he is the conqueror, and you bow and submit to him. When talking about our resurrection, Paul refers to Jesus as the conqueror of death, our final enemy. Listen carefully to 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 28 to have your mind blown. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. After reading a passage of such magnitude and majesty, it's time to bend the knee to King Jesus and bend the neck in worship, the ultimate submission and surrender that a human being can make. The rest of the chapter chronicles Joshua completely taking all of the city fortresses of the armies who had come out to attack Gibeon. Only those city fortresses no longer had armies to defend them because they had come out to defeat the Israelites. Joshua cleaned up in the region, taking the cities like a solo contestant in a cakewalk. These were the southern city fortresses, and that's how the south was won. One day, God will completely subdue everything that has not bent the neck in submission to himself. Why not submit and surrender everything to him now? Because anything unsubmitted is not eternal. Just a temporary illusion, a pipe dream, a fantasy. And God will let men and women have their fantasies, that they rule their own lives, but the illusion is quickly shattered when something more powerful hits us, like a natural disaster, an economic collapse, or bad news from the doctor, or even the IRS. God desires that they submit to him, the only true power, the one whose heart's desire is to conquer them with love and overwhelm him with his mercy and goodness, rather than see them destroyed by their self-rule and pay with more than their lives, pay with their very souls. After all, God submitted and humbled himself to us first. Read Joshua chapter 10 today, and as you do, bow the knee and bend the neck to the rightful conqueror, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.